good day to everyone listening. On today's episode, we're with Dr. Sabir Sheikh to discuss omnichannel enablement. It's a new way of professional engagement that has gained steam, especially since the introduction of new channels to reach HCPs post-COVID. Thanks a lot, Dr. Sabir, for being with us today. Let's jump straight to the questions. Across the industry, we're seeing a digital-first approach, especially in the post-COVID world. What are your thoughts on this, Dr. Sabir?
Sneha, thank you very much for the introduction, and thank you for having me on the podcast. And, you know, this is a topic which I think is very much in the buzz nowadays and has been for quite some time. So let me just start by, you know, at least from my perspective and, you know, from J&J's perspective. As many people know, you know, for J&J, the credo is the most important part of our mission. It basically defines why we exist and why we operate. And, you know, the first para of the credo is, you know, we believe that our first responsibility is to patients, doctors, and nurses, to mothers and fathers, and all others who use our products and services. So, you know, with this philosophy in mind, you know, being able to provide the highest quality of information services to our consumers is basically our, you know, North Star. But I think when we look at the evolution of the market, and I think Sneha, you touched on it, you know, it's, you know, we've had a technological boom, you know, the number of channels and platforms and have, you know, immensely improved over the last couple of years. And that has led to, you know, a lot of consumer behavior changes. Now, consumers no longer just want to be told about products, but, you know, because they have access to all these different platforms on the touch of a button, they're also very keen on understanding, you know, what the organization is offering from an experience perspective. So what products are you providing? What services? What benefits are they getting? And how are they being perceived now amongst other consumers as well? And I think that is basically the biggest, you know, with these three triggers, it's the biggest element on the need to shift to having a first, you know, digital first mindset and an approach for any organization. Now, I think, you know, if we look at the Middle East context specifically, you know, we have a very high penetration rate for digital consumption here. Highest rate for YouTube, Facebook interactions. TikTok is one of the uprising platforms where people are engaging and they're sharing information, but they're also sharing about their likes and dislikes. So with this in mind, you know, it's very important to be, you know, where the consumers are and be able to provide them with the right information that they require to make up their decision on the purchase journey. I was just going through some research preparing for this podcast, and what I also, you know, wasn't startled, but, you know, it came across as, you know, a way of reiterating the facts that we know that even in this market, 90% of the people will do some form of research prior to making a purchase decision. And of those decisions taken, most of them are done on the spot, either through a merchant's website or through any e-commerce platform. But I think what was even more important for me when we were looking at this particular research is that, you know, a large population of people will actually walk away from a business that does not offer them a high quality digital experience. So these are very, very important aspects that, you know, at J&J and plus other competitive organizations, they're all looking at it from this particular perspective with the customer or the consumer being the center of all activities to be conducted. Now, another aspect I just want to add here is, you know, versus the traditional marketing, digital is also giving us real-time data. We don't have to wait for results. We don't have to wait for metrics like in the old days. And this data is what allows organizations to evaluate what's working, what's not working, and pivot very, very quickly. So, you know, we're really now in the age of retargeting, repositioning, and repurposing our communication in the best possible way to attract our consumers and get them to believe or, you know, trust our brands or services to make that final decision. To me, and even J&J, being digital first is no longer an option. It's a necessity of the business and the ways of working.
Absolutely agree with you on this, Dr. Sabi. I think this is something that we're seeing as an industry-wide change. And of course, COVID has been such a catalyst to it. So thanks so much. I think that's extremely insightful. Along with running this digital first program, I think omnichannel is another term that is used very frequently. What are your thoughts on omnichannel? Because I think for a successful digital program, having an omnichannel enablement, an organization that is ready for this is extremely important. So how have you gone about this whole way of implementing omnichannel? What are a few success factors, according to you, or the 2-3 things that a company needs to have in mind before they embark on this journey?
Okay, so let's talk about omnichannel first. And, you know, because this is a very, very new area. Traditionally, a lot of us have been involved in multi-channel marketing, where we're using a lot of channels and, you know, communicating our messages to our target audience. But I think what omnichannel has actually done is actually completely revolutionized the aspect of consumer coming first. And, you know, it's really allowing the teams and organizations to be at the consumer where they are with the right message and at the right time. And I think the most important element of this is to be able to provide a seamless communication, irrespective of, you know, what part of the funnel that they're in. But more importantly, if they leave from one device and they go onto a different platform, that entire interaction still is seamless and they're still being catered to provide that complete experience base. And I think that's the big central change that's taking place versus the multi-channel, which is the consumer is the central piece. And all the channels are working towards that one individual touch point. And collectively, you're getting to your end goal and your organization's objective, which is, you know, customer satisfaction. Now, for at least for J&J, you know, we've taken omnichannel quite seriously, and it's across not just from marketing but across all functions, because it's about meeting new customer demands, and it's all about bringing convenience, speed, consistency, and most importantly, personalization. Now, as much as we've been focusing on, you know, the brand side and communicating to consumers on, you know, mega brands, where I've been involved with omnichannel specifically is on the SCP, so the healthcare practitioner aspect. SCPs are no different from any other consumers. They have different demands, different needs, different pain points. But the central point for them is the need and the hunger for knowledge and more, you know, improved guidelines, connections with their peers, and even now connections with their patients. Now, we've been creating this omnichannel through using both human-enabled touchpoints. So we still continue with the face-to-face, which we still consider to be gold standard in many of the categories. But then we've evolved the entire platforms and technology to be human-enabled, using e-calls, using digital communication, CRM-backed, even websites, to help cater to the individual doctor based on how they want to receive the information, when they want to receive the information, and more importantly, what type of communication that they want to receive. So we've been doing this for 18 months at this point in time, and we've seen tremendous amount of growth and engagement, both from people joining and registering the website, but also from, you know, the emails that we're sending out. We're also getting a lot in terms of understanding the topics that they're mostly engaging in. And that's giving us a lot more insight in terms of, you know, what are the next piece of content that we are able to provide to help them to gauge, you know, their necessity, which is their demand and their need for different type of information. Now, from your second part of your question, you asked, you know, what does an organization need to go omnichannel and what should they keep in consideration?
Yes.
I think the foremost important part is I think businesses need to decide on their overarching strategy and vision. And they need to evaluate, you know, the existing capabilities and resources that they have today. And where does omnichannel fit in? So there's definitely a play for everyone, but I think it's really important to set the stage right and to know why you're getting into it. Because particularly omnichannel is, you know, it's not a marketer's role single-handedly. It's very cross-functional. It requires a lot of stakeholders from IT, from agencies, brand managers, and down to even your CRM team and data scientists in order to fulfill the entire omnichannel engagement. So, you know, I think the foremost part is you need to break down the silos in the organizations. You need to be on the same page. And once you have that plan in place with the right objectives, then setting forth towards that journey is possible. And omnichannel is never a short-term gain. It's a long-term, it's constant data, constant understanding of where your consumers and your customers are, and how you're going to continuously evolve to make it engaging. So I think that's the most important piece that I can, you know, share based on my experience here. Now, when it comes to, you know, once that's been agreed, I think there's three key components from a good communication perspective. I think one is really understanding your consumers, what their needs are, what their pains are today, where they're getting their information, and being able to define the personas and what is the objective for each one of these personas in terms of their journey, and, you know, what is the outcome that you're trying to achieve. Now, with the personas done, the second most important part is relevant content, which appeals to your target audience. It needs to help them. It needs to address their interest, their needs and challenges, and more importantly, improve the way that it helps them to progress forward. So content is a very, very key piece, and content will differ depending on the approach, the different platform, and the different level of engagement that you're expecting. But in order for it to be omnichannel, the most important part is it needs to be seamless across all channels and across all steps of the consumer journey. If a consumer or an SCP, you know, is watching something on your website and, you know, leaves for whatever reason, they should be able to get, you know, the same seamless connection either through an email, through a webinar, or even through precision marketing, where, you know, the journey continues and we don't lose the consumer in any way of the funnel, which was probably what was happening in the multi-channel. So having a seamless process interconnecting all of the channels is one of the most important part.
Thanks, Dr. Subi. I think there are some extremely important points there in what you mentioned, especially in terms of getting the organization ready to accept such a change, and then, of course, enabling it through various technologies and having that seamless experience. Now that this omnichannel bit is in place and you know, you've had some time to observe how that's going, what, according to you, are the ingredients, rather not ingredients, but how would you define the success factors of an omnichannel enablement?
Yeah, so this is a tough one. But, you know, we have our typical metrics depending on each specific campaign that we do on omnichannel. So it's dependent on the channel, the objective, and what your success looks like. I mean, you have your typical stuff such as reach, you know, conversion rates. We may even be looking at revenue generation from a brand perspective. Registrations on site, so engagement levels on different content pieces provided. But I think the single most important piece for me and quintessential for really understanding if it's working or not is basically customer satisfaction. So, and this can only be done, you know, if the business can provide individual customer touch points over a variety of channels, that seamless connectivity that we were talking about, and allowing the customers to pick off from where they left and continue their journey on a different platform or a different perspective. So, I mean, for us, omnichannel has been all about, you know, acquiring more SCPs? But then secondly, once you have them on board, how do we engage with, you know, meaningful content? And content, not just in perspective of something on a website, but, you know, if they really engage on webinars, then, you know, who's the best speaker on what topic and how do we get to them at the right time? This will be one of the key success factors for us. But more importantly, it's about retention. So how many times do they actually engage? What sort of, you know, how many times did they come back to the website? How many number of registrations that we've enhanced over a period of time through the different activities that we've done? And more importantly, you know, are they also recommending us to other peers? So it's all about word of mouth at the end of the day. And if they're satisfied with what they've been provided from a scientific perspective, then they would want to consider us as a center of excellence and continue to keep coming back. So I think, you know, success at this point is, you know, very limited to the initial metrics. We've been in this journey for about 18 months. But as we get more data, as we start understanding the behaviors and understanding the needs and how we pivot towards them, we'll be moving more towards the customer satisfaction part to really engage, you know, gauge if our omnichannel is working or not.
Thanks, Dr. Sabir, for that. Absolutely. I think one of the key things that people need to remember is that there's no short-term answer to this. It's a journey. And over time, I think the KPIs also keep evolving as per what you said. So thank you so much. I think that brings me to the end of the questions I have for you today. Again, grateful that you've spent so much time with us and given us a piece of your experience. And hopefully, we'd like to hear a lot more from you soon. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Sneha, for having me again. And best of luck.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Sabir.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about this and other topics facing healthcare ecosystems around the world, visit IQVIA.com.